Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I'm joined by my good friend, Nick Miller.
What's up, man?
Welcome to the Middleman Podcast, bro.
Hell yeah. Thanks for having me.
No doubt, bro. Welcome to your first podcast. You know, I've always talked about giving someone their first podcast is always a pleasure, you know, because I don't know. It's like, why? Why do you want to come on a podcast? You know what I mean? That to me, it's like everyone wants to come on a podcast, but there's always a right fit for a podcast. So I'm happy that you chose the Middleman Podcast, nonetheless, as your first podcast, you know? So, and then from here, you know, this is, could you mark this as like the beginning of your media journey in a sense? You know,
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like we are creating this and we are doing this. So as I said, welcome to the Middleman Podcast. We got my man, Nick Miller here.
What's up?
One kind soul, my good friend. Mm-hmm. You are a musician. You know, we're just going to dive right into it. But, you know, I think before we do that, we should get to know who you are.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, born and raised in Dalton, Pennsylvania, right up the road here. Moved to Old Forge in my mid-20s and then back to Clark Summit with Jenny in the last coming up on three years now.
Shout out, Jenny. Thank you for being here. Our camera woman today. Mike, I hope you're enjoying your concert.
Growing up, life was just all about sports, baseball, football, basketball, getting into high school age, and then really just focused on baseball after that. Played some college ball, but nothing noteworthy,
so to speak.
And music kind of just, it started probably around 14. It just was always side by side with every sport and started meeting with Eric and Tyler and them. And like, we honestly can't pinpoint when it started, but it always, like, I don't remember life before, you know what I'm saying? So it's like.
You mentioned Eric and Tyler. Mm-hmm. I don't believe I know Eric, but I do know Tyler, correct?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Eric Ayton, he's the other guitar player.
Okay.
Tyler Crawford's the drummer.
Oh, Tyler Crawford. I'm sorry. I don't know Tyler Crawford.
He's the director at Montage.
Okay.
Very tall man.
And he works with you in just like making music, or you guys just collab?
Yeah, we've been in a band since, I think we were 15. We had a ska band in ninth grade called Sweeter Than Lemons. And, yeah, pretty ridiculous. But we had Jesse Morvan, who you also know, trumpet, Mike Jenkins, Zach Travis, another buddy. And we didn't realize the talent we had then because Zach Travis was first in state. Jesse was first in state on trumpet and Mike was second in state on trumpet. So we had literally like an all-star lineup of people. It was pretty wild times, but. And then ska kind of faded out a little bit. And then we'd switch to acoustics as we still play today. But
so who is collectively a part of One Kind Soul?
One Kind Soul at the moment is just really me.
It's just you. Yeah. Okay. So the name, I'm confused. The band, is that something that you do often still?
That's a cover band.
It's a cover band.
Yeah. So we're the ENT music company, Eric, Nick, and Tyler. Very creative.
I like that.
Yeah. Very creative. But no, we're the cover band. And then One Kind Soul is just what I'm doing, my own little project right now.
Okay, got it.
And they help out. Like Tyler helps out and Eric, they help with some lyrics here and there and stuff like that. But
so you've been creating music since you were 14 at a very young age. And, you know, I was looking on your social media and I was looking at, you know, you had the liberty and showed people your studio. Your studio looks really, really cool.
That's the Old Forge house.
That's the Old Forge.
That no longer exists.
Mm.
But my new house now, once we get some of the other house projects done, it's honestly been like the busiest summer of our entire lives. There's 100 weddings. People are having babies left and right. It's like, I think we've had one weekend since the honeymoon.
It's the last three months of the year, man. Yeah.
It's been a wild year. But there will be a new man cave at the new house. So,
well, I like the man cave that you had previously. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the alien. if you know the alien, you know the alien. The alien is super dope. It's iconic. But also, I was looking through your studio and you have a number of instruments, bro, like a number of guitars, bro. Like, how many do you actually have?
I think at this point, I think five. I have my first guitar was a Les Paul Custom, like just your starter. You get the guitar and a little amp for like $300, something like that. And then I have a Les Paul Custom, the black and gold one. That's my baby, but I don't really play electric anymore. So unfortunately, they do kind of sit.
Oh.
But I just recently got a PRS. And being lefty, it's harder to get.
Describe a PRS.
Fall Reed Smith. So it's, I honestly don't even know how to explain. It's not like my Epiphone bodies. They're like the real heavy guitars. This looks more like a Fender, so to speak.
Sorry about that. Let me turn my sound off.
Yeah. What I love about the PRS is, though, the fretboard, instead of just the simple dots, it has eagles. So it's a very sleek looking guitar.
So you got a little bit away from the electric guitar. Why is that?
I honestly won't be able to pinpoint that. Me and Eric and Tyler, we just somewhere junior, senior year, we just started doing acoustic stuff. Tyler plays a cajon. For people who don't know, it's Mexican for box. So it's literally just a box. But yeah, we just been doing that for the last 12, 13 years.
Okay. So like, talk to me about, it's 12, 13 years, right? From the beginning of your journey to now, you know, what are some memorable moments, some accolades that you gained along the way that you could really just recall? Because it sounds like you've been on this journey for quite some time. You and I had a conversation off camera about something, and I'm talking about the phone call that we had the other day, you know, not too long ago. Like, I've been doing this for so long, something's got to break, you know? So, and I was like, yeah, you know, but eventually, you know, we're doing so many small changes here and there that, you know, it's going to break. So that's the journey that I'm talking about. 12, 13 years, bro. Like, come on, hit me with some memorable moments, some notable moments.
I mean, probably my favorite show to date. Not many people know what it is, but it's the What Else You Got Festival.
Okay.
It was one of our, I forget his name, a good musician in the community had passed away. So we put together this huge little festival. Like thousands of people were there, and we were one of the highlight bands coming up. But we played Wine Fest at Montage, like big events like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just the camaraderie between me, Eric, and Tyler, like we laugh nonstop every time we're playing. There's just, you know, we always make it fun. No matter, back in the day, we would do Friday, Saturday, Sunday gigs, sometimes two gigs a day. We were all single back then, so we had the time.
Yeah,
but we would honestly get burned out, but we just always keep each other happy and just make sure it's always fun. And if it's not fun, we take a break.
Where was the furthest that you've traveled out for like a venue?
Not too far, probably. Okay. Tawanda, a couple hours, but nothing really out of the state yet. But
that's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. Good for you. So with your brothers from 12, 13 years, still making music, still jamming. Now you're doing your a solo project. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going off on your own. What inspired that change, or is that something that you've always wanted to do? And you know, why are you doing it now? You know, what made you want to go after it?
It was always in the back of my mind. And we, in the beginning of our era, we have one CD out. I don't know if we still have a copy of that CD somewhere, but my parents have it or someone has it. But we had six songs we wrote all ourselves, and we just never grew up from that. We just went back to the covers, and that was all we had. And up until, let's say, 2018, 2019, Gary Melville, we met at Ale Mary's, coincidentally, and he's just
ironically, like, I'm yeah. there too.
Yeah. And he's just like, what are you doing, man? You're still playing covers after all this time? And he kind of like put a fire under my ass to get moving. And then that was 3 years ago. Now I'm almost at 10 songs, 10 original songs. Only two have been recorded so far, but we're just still in that slow process of trying to get song after song done.
So when you're writing, so that was like, okay, so 3 years ago, you said that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, 20, okay. Or maybe four at this point, 2019. Yeah.
That's good, man. I'm happy that Mr. Melville kicked you in the ass and said that to you and put a fire under you, because at the same time, I remember having a conversation with him. Shout out you, Monk, you know,
yeah,
shout out,
what's up?
Shout out Party Poets. You know, you're definitely doing your thing there. But before we get into that, in my off season, I was like, not really posting much, you know, it was an off season. I didn't think I had content to post. Nonetheless, he's like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're not posting shit. And I'm like, okay. He's like, there's other podcasters doing what you like, just posting more. And he's like, you can reuse your content. He's like, reuse all 50 episodes that you already did and put content out. And so what we did is, that was the birth of Middleman Mondays, by the way. You know, so Middleman Mondays now has developed into a reel from the video, from the actual conversation. But what it was before was just like, you know, B-roll that you got royalty-free videos and, you know, the audio and then text over it. And and it was a really good time, you know. So
yeah.
So with that being, and we actually got some pretty substantial views from it. Some of them blew up for like no reason. I'm like, oh, that's tough, you know. So,
hell yeah.
I'm happy he suggested that and put the fire into my ass, because you need that every now and then, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you're not overstepping, because I think sometimes some people could try to be too inspirational and overstep. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. I got
right?
you. Yeah, Gary's going to tell you exactly how it is, no mm-hmm. matter what. And you're going to get the full question, the full answer from front to back, whether you like it or not. But he's genuine. He's honest.
So 3 years ago, 10 songs now, 2 fully recorded. Mm-hmm. Where are you recording, or are most of your projects self-made by yourself? Like, you are your producer, your engineer, and the guy obviously creating the music.
The one and only Jesse Morbin. I met his place recently. Yeah. So the last two, I started Let Me Out, which, by the way, is on Spotify. I started that 3 years ago in Old Forge with the cool studio you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And with James Barrett's engineer, his name's Jake. Check away. He moved back up to Boston, though. So we started that song, and it was during COVID, so it was a tough time to figure everything out. And that took about, honestly, like a year and a half to finish that song. But we almost had it done, and then he moved away. And then Jesse's the man, so I'm just like, hey, man, like, I knew he had a spot. And then we finished the song up there, and then he's my guy. He's engineer, producer, everything.
That's fantastic, yeah. Man. That's fantastic. Let Me Out is it's a really, really fun song. You know, I think mm-hmm. You and I met actually rekindled, because we've always passed each other in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
if
you live in Scranton, you tend to see some faces time to time. But, you know, at work, it was a work exchange. You know what I mean? And that's when you were like, hey, man, yeah, check out my songs. And I was like, bet. And I was on a rooftop doing what I do. And I was listening to it, and I was like, okay, yeah, let me give you some feedback. And I did give you feedback, you know?
Yeah.
So Let Me Out, to me, you know, it's a really upbeat tempo song. You can real dance to it. And bro, you got this, like, I hope this isn't disrespectful. Okay. I hope this is, you got this like Nickelback voice to you. You know what I mean? Where it's like raspy, but like the right kind of raspy, but also you can go low with your octaves.
I got you. Yeah. And Nickelback is not a disrespect.
Okay.
People, cool. Everyone says they hate Nickelback, but when you ask them why, they don't have an answer. Nickelback is a global band. Like, they're, I might lose all my credibility here with everyone, but like, we talk about all the time, like, people are Nickelback fans. The songs come on, you could sing every word. Like, they just, it's a stigmatism against them, and I have no idea why. So in no way or shape or form is that an insult.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we're good. We're cool.
Yeah, so that's what I get from you, man. That's the type of vibe, that's the type of voice you have, and it's really, really good. And like, so Let Me Out, talk to me about that song, because, you know, I hear the chorus, let me out before I fall inside and fade away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
it's basically, that's a panic attack happening. Step outside, everything's all great and everything's good. Then all of a sudden it hits you, starts sinking, and just want someone to let you out and like, help you out. But one of my favorite lines in that song is, sometimes smiles are disguise.
Yes. So that was one of those iconic lines that I caught as well. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's everything right there. It's, you never really know what someone's thinking. They could be in a good mood at a party with you, and deep down in between their ears, it's kind of chaotic. So that's basically what that song, and then the chorus about the sun, like the clouds and all that stuff, like, it kind of ties together like that.
It's a great way to put it, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, all the madness in between the ears.
Between the ears, man.
Yeah, in between the ears. I like that.
Chester Bennington, he said that in one of his interviews. He's just like, when it's quiet, when the show's over, when I'm at home, in between these ears, it's like, it's a nightmare.
Fuck.
And you would never know that shit with him, but
fuck.
Yeah.
Pretty heavy. That is some heavy stuff, man. Yeah. That is some pretty heavy stuff, because it's a real shit, though. It is a real shit. I have this tattooed on me, sleeping a dream, walking a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, like, how ass backwards is that? You know, like, that means that when I'm asleep, I'm having the best time of my life. And it's because we have the imagination, and if you could really grasp your dreams and go anywhere, you know, sometimes my dreams are so vivid that I'm like, shit, did that really happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I've had dreams that still stick with me 10 years later. It's pretty wild stuff.
Reoccurring dreams. That's one of those interesting topics, man. We've been there, man. We've been there before. Crazy shit.
Bro. Yeah.
Crazy shit. But as we were saying, so Let Me Out, you know, smiles are disguised. You just said it was like a panic attack. So let me ask you, this is very personal.
Yeah.
Is it something that has happened to you? And you can speak firsthand about it, and that's why you wanted to
100%.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, my buddies know, sometimes I've been heading to parties and I'm just like, guys, I gotta go. Just like, I'm not gonna bring you guys down with my mood. So I'm like, I'm not a Debbie Downer. If I'm having a bad time, I'm not gonna ruin anyone's party. Like,
yeah,
I just kind of peace out. And I've controlled them a lot better in the last like 5 years. But in my early 20s to mid, like early to mid 20s, I was also a train wreck at the time. Like that's when we left Eric and Tyler, the cover band. I was gone for like 2 years and stuff like that. Yeah. We want to dive deep into that.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, because I didn't know about that. Like right now you're telling me about this cover band and I'm like, oh shit, I knew nothing about that. Dive into it, bro.
Yeah, so only my closest friends know this, but like in my early 20s, it was just alcohol. And the devil had a hold of me and I was gone. I didn't want to go out. I would just go up my parents' garage where I had our studio at the time. Mm-hmm. And I would just go up there every night and I would write songs and never remember them in the morning. And I wouldn't play with the guys anymore. I didn't go out and I was just a ghost. I just disappeared from everyone. It was about 2 years during that period. I worked at MCR Productions with John Phillips for a couple years there. But as soon as I was done, bottle popped and I was just getting drunk every day.
Damn.
Yeah. It was pretty tough. And I have one post on my Instagram where I Chester Bennington cover, coincidentally, and Tyler Crawford hit me back up after I posted it. And he's like, I think it's time to get the band back together. When I was like starting to level out a little bit. I think I was 24. I just moved to Old Forge. And then I just kind of got my head above water and the team pulled me out. So
yeah, that sounds fantastic. May I ask what made you guys kind of like take a little bit of a pause in between?
All me.
Oh, okay.
Just me. I was just gone. Just always drunk. I didn't want to do anything. I'd come up with excuses for every reason not. Literally, one of my excuses, and Eric does know this, and Tyler, they were playing at McGrath's, and I lived in Dalton, which is a minute up the hill. And they're like, yo, come on down. Just play a gig with us. And I was like, dude, I just restrung my guitar. My strings are going to slide out. I can't risk it. That was my legit excuse. And they will back that up too.
Oh,
I just yeah. So I would come up with bullshit like that.
Yeah.
I was a real like piece of shit for a while. Not morally, but just to myself.
Yeah.
Like, I literally would just be in the garage every day after work, just drinking.
Damn, man. I mean, the part that stuck out to me was that you would write songs and not even remember them. You know what I mean?
I'm sure I've written at least 20 songs that could have been something and just disappeared overnight.
I mean, maybe it was necessary that way too. I don't know, man. That's very raw of you, and I appreciate you telling us that, you know, that was something that happened and, you know, they pulled you out and now you guys are back together and now you guys are still doing your shows all the time.
Yeah, we play. It's a little different now, but she could attest to this, that we've been the busiest summer of all time. If it's not a wedding, it's a gig. It's every single weekend, nonstop.
May I ask you this? Why has a thought ever come across for you guys to, you know, come together as a complete band and instead of doing covers, create your own music? Because it sounds like you guys are all artists, right? Is it you guys don't have like the same vision with sound, or has this conversation ever come up?
A couple of years ago, it would come up more often, but we started this new band. It's called Mega Band, and it started as a complete joke, but so it's me, Eric, and Tyler, and then we would poach Jesse for a gig or our buddy Tyler, and we'd sit with Marty Monahan at the wedding with the horrible flood, but we literally just get the best guitar players we can fucking find, and then they just add another element to our band, so it's intriguing now with having all that talent. Like, why aren't we writing? Like, what are we doing? Like, I'm writing my stuff, but it's more like mellow songs. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
But we are extremely talented. I'll speak for them too. Like, they're extremely talented people, especially Jesse and them. Like, we easily could, if we sat down for one weekend, started writing a song, I'm sure we could kick out bangers left and right, but it's just a time thing. It's just hard to get everyone together as you get older.
Yes.
It's tough, man.
I've heard that before, is that, you know, as we grow older, it's harder to get people back together. But damn, man, I think that would be something really, really cool. I mean, especially since the three of you are, I mean, consistently together. Am I wrong to say that?
Yeah, it's mainly me, Eric, and Tyler. Yeah.
You know, then, and Eric, what do they play again? Each
and Eric all? And I play acoustics and sing, okay. And Tyler's the cajon master, and he sings. We do three-part harmonies.
I gotta see a cajon.
It's right. Yeah, it's hard. It's just literally like a box, and it's got like your snare on the top and then the bass on the bottom. So, like,
that's sick.
It's pretty wild, and he is hands down the best cajon player I know. And it seems like not a tough instrument, but if you come see his play, you'll know exactly what I mean.
There's a lot of unique instruments out there. That's one of them that I've never heard of, you know, and obviously I would hope that he's extremely talented in it, because, you know, those odd end, you know, those odd end instruments, you know, there's so many people who don't do that, you know, that don't play those instruments. So shout out to you guys. And I don't know, man, I think you guys should try to make something happen there. Why not, man? Why not? I don't think there's a problem with you chasing your dream and also being a part of a collective group team, you know, dream.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the time thing, but still, well, there's no reason why we can't.
Yeah.
There's just excuses at that point, but.
I got you. Mm-hmm. I got you. So let's go back to One Kind Soul.
All right.
You know, first of all, that is a very nice name. And I feel like that's your message. Am I wrong to say that?
Yeah. No, absolutely right. The name came to me driving in a van one day, just One Kind Soul. So then quick on Instagram, got the title, got all my email and all that stuff ready. And it's just, I don't know. It's hard for me to speak for myself, but you could ask people around me, I guess. But I'm generally a very nice person. I'm your neighborhood friend, so to speak. And I always want to see the best in people. Like I don't really care about myself too much. I just rather lift anyone around me in any situation up. That's kind of my gig.
Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, I like people being happy, man. I always will be your number one fan if you're trying to succeed in something. So it's just who I am, really. Just try to be genuine to everyone. If you're nice to me, I'll be twice as nice back. Mm-hmm. Pretty much like that.
But it's good to live a life like that, mm-hmm. man. Especially if it's reciprocating and, you know, they're giving it back to you. You know. I always say I have a lot of faith in humanity, and you know, you're one of those reasons is why we have faith in humanity.
And I also have faith in humanity. We see all the horrible shit, but it's just 1%. That's all it really is. The 1% can be horrific, but it is just the 1%. Like people are still good, you know?
Can I ask you, so you're writing these songs, right? And I want to go back to Let Me Out, okay? And are you also writing the notes? Because there's a drummer in there, there's an electric guitar in there. Am I, you on the acoustic as well. Are you writing the notes for the complete song?
So, not the guitar solo, that's Jesse.
Okay.
And the drums is my buddy Billy Garrity. He's out in California, but you send him a link and he's got that track done in 30 seconds.
Oh, that's sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm lucky to have such a good group of people, you know, like obviously Jesse. I'll say his name 100 times because he's brilliant. What he does, and Billy, same thing. Send him anything and he could just create whatever you want. Tell him your ideas and how you want it to, what direction you want to head in. But other than that, I wrote the whole guitar part, but he does the solos and stuff like that.
Yeah, he was pretty slick on the solo. So shout out to Jesse.
Shout out Jesse.
For the 20th time. but Jesse really is he's a gunslinger, man. He's mm-hmm. he's pretty dope. He's a really good musician and he plays a lot of instruments. The trumpet is one of those unique instruments that he could really bring out in a show. You know, there's so many people looking for someone who could play a trumpet to like producers and everything, you know, mm-hmm. be like, yo. Yeah, could you play me this sound right here instead of, because you can't find a sample, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I love music. Like, I digest music, you know, I really do. And I want to just tell you this, like, when I listen to music, man, I find myself, you know, tapping on a table so much and really digesting all of the little notes that you wouldn't hear, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe you shouldn't. They were in there, you know?
Yeah.
But they weren't to the forefront. And that's what I really enjoy about music. And, you know, when I eat, breathe, sleep music, when I say that, I really mean that shit, like, all the time. Like, I was listening to this one Hispanic song called Ella Baila, Sola, okay. You know? And, dude, it's like the trumpet, the guitar, everything. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this is good. Like, this is my shit.
Yeah, most people don't. Like, we talk about it all the time. This is a little off topic, but, like, if we miss a note, 90% of people aren't going to hear it.
Yes.
The select few, like you said, like can actually digest the full song and all the parts, moving parts and pieces of that. But yeah, that's the beauty of it, man. Like, there's so many hidden little messages in every song that a lot of people don't ever see. But
do you have any hidden messages in Let Me Out? You know, you said the panic attack. Is there anything that is maybe that you did that's so small that people may have looked over that you want them to maybe listen to next time they listen through?
I mean, I don't know if anyone really knows it's about panic attacks. It might be brand new news to them. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but nothing really too hidden in that one. That's pretty straightforward.
So with panic attacks, you know, you and I had a conversation about stage presence, you mm-hmm. know, off camera here. And, you know, you mentioned that that's one of those things that you have been working on, stage presence, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone being alone, you know, especially because you're going to be a solo artist, you know. How do you prepare yourself? What are some of those battles that you run into when you go on stage? And I don't know, like, what do you do nowadays to fight that and conquer that fear?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing music for 20 years, so you think I wouldn't have to deal with it, but mm-hmm. I've been with those those dudes for 20 years. And I'm finally just doing my own thing. So when you're on stage, I'm just trying to learn. It's super important to just slow it down. Like, just you start getting like too fast and like you start running. You just gotta stay calm. Like you talk to people every day, you know, you got all the eyes on you, which is the different part, but like, it's not that bad. You just gotta slow it down.
So slowing it down and keeping your composure. And I like that you said that because, as I mentioned to you, I did stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Last Monday. Yeah. Well, that's how we met.
Yeah.
In the old, the Sanctuary.
Is that where you met me?
That's where.
Okay. Yeah. And that was a pop-up comedy.
Yeah. Literally just a pop-up thing.
Actually, that one was my best laugh.
Jenny was there too.
Jenny, yeah. You were there too?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Eric was there. Yeah. That was wow. Awesome. That's the first time I knew who you were. And I was like, this dude's funny as hell, man.
That was that happy fuck up, that joke that I made with the DNA test.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, mm-hmm. The DNA test. If you've seen a bit, you know it. Long story short, I met my father at a DNA center in Brooklyn, and turns out I'm the father, you know? So, but I did stand-up comedy, and, you know, I found myself speeding up. It was only 10 minutes, and, like, I guess you don't realize how long 10 minutes is until you're up there.
Very long time, man. Yeah, and especially in that environment, too, because, like, it's easier to play to 400 people than to 5. In my opinion, because it's very intimate, and especially that gig.
Huh.
That gig's super intimate because then there's 10 people on a couch, and when you're up, it's you and it's dead quiet. There's no background noise. No one's playing pool at the bar. It's like everyone, you can tell if they're having a good time or not. They're eating a sandwich. Like those are the tough ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they are extremely tough, man. There was this one kid sitting in the front, and you know, after the show, he goes, "Yo, good shit, bro." I was like, I appreciate it, but I didn't really see you laughing. So
yeah, it's tough. You could read everyone, and you know if they don't like it or not. So
I need to. I'm gonna free float a lot better. Or excuse me, I'm gonna free float a lot more with stand-up comedy. That's one of those things that I'm gonna start doing for myself.
Yeah.
Because I've been told time and time again, just like, yo, Kev, don't script shit. And that's honestly, you know, before we got on the air, you were like, mm-hmm. Oh, you got your itinerary ready. I was like, nah, bro.
Yeah, nope.
We don't do that.
Nothing written down here.
We used to. Not anymore, though. It's like, it's too robotic.
Yeah. No, I like that, though.
And as you said, you know how to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it's just natural. It's more.
It feels more organic. It's more natural. So So here we go. We got our second song. She was never mine.
Yep.
Okay. She was never mine.
Yeah.
And that song, you know, I gave you feedback on that song. And that song is one of those slower temper songs, you mm-hmm. know, and it's definitely about love. And I don't think you're talking about Jenny in that one, you know.
I didn't actually write that song.
Oh.
I'm a co-writer on it. So
that
one, right at the time when Gary kicked me in the ass, got the fire going again, was in 2019. He calls me up one day. He's like, dude, I'm starting to write this song. I hear your voice on it.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's like, you're the guy. So he calls me in, I meet him at the studio, and he has like a couple verses done, and then we're sitting there, I'm helping him write more of the lyrics, and then I just come up with the guitar part, and within, I think, 30 minutes, we had the song finished off and was ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah, because, I mean, that song, it's definitely obviously not about you, but I love the lyrics of that song. It's perfect.
You know, it's a... So that song, what I enjoyed a lot about it was it really showed your vocals, mm-hmm. you know, you being able to play with the vocals,
yeah.
You know, whether you want to go higher or lower or even to an even deeper octave, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what I really enjoyed about that song, man. It was like trying to find the correct pitch for that song, you know, and that's really cool. I didn't know that Monk did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? He just called me up. He's like, I'm starting the song and I hear your voice. And he's starting to sing now, doing his thing, as you know, but
yes,
at that time, I don't think he really was. So, but yeah, no, I'm very pumped about that song.
That's a good fun song, man. Which one, do you have a preference of which one you love more? I mean, actually to perform, let's put it that way. To perform, which one would you rather perform?
She Was Never Mine gets way better feedback.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like, people feel that song, you know, it's right in the lyrics. Like this guy's just, he hasn't texted this girl, he's at the bar and she's with another guy. Like, I feel like most of us have been in that situation at some point.
Yeah, sir.
So we're all just drinking our sorrows away for that point. But yeah, that one people react to better. Because Let Me Out, if you don't know the lyrics, and I'm playing it acoustic, which is even way more interesting because it's a full band song. So when I do it acoustic, it's harder to pull off. But they don't, like I said, I think this is the first time people will realize that is about panic attacks, that song. So just keeping a clear head and just know that tomorrow's a different day. It's brand new. Have a chance to reset it all. So,
And so, yeah, that's awesome that they give you more feedback on She Would Never Mind.
Yeah, they love that song.
So when you're like ripping it up there with the vocals, right? When you're ripping it up there, because dude, that's you know, it takes a lot, you know, as I said, the Nickelback, you know, you got a little bit of a raspiness to you, but then you don't. So when you're doing that, you know, has anyone ever come up to you? Because when I watch people perform, even at the Keystone stage, when I watch people perform, I get a tendency to get goosebumps, you know, when you hear, you know, a right note or some shit. Has anyone ever come up to you and, you know, personally said that to you?
Yeah, and some of my my falsetto parts.
Hold on. Jen's on her head.
Jenny's got something.
Could you speak for
her? Yeah, please. A little something here.
Tune in, camera woman. Is it on? Yeah, as long as the switch is up, you're good.
So I guess it's on. When he was playing at the Thirsty Elephant, it was our friend Booney and his brother Michael, and he was up there playing his new song that's not out yet, and it's my favorite. But Booney and his brother go, "Oh my God, I have goosebumps. He's so good. I have goosebumps," and showed me their arms and they legit had goosebumps.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. You know, getting that feedback, you know, being able to create that. I'm telling you, bro.
It's everything.
You're on the right path. You know, you're on the right path. You have to be. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
It feels right. You know, like I wake up every morning and I say it out loud. Like I'm trying to manifest it more, and I'm giving more of an effort. Like Gary and I with the Party Poets, we're doing more and more gigs, and just it feels like something's happening. And me just walking up to you that day at Jushi just to reconnect, here I am sitting next to you. It's like, you know, you just got to put yourself out there and it'll give it back sometimes. So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting. I tell her every day, I'm like, I don't say if, I say when. When we make it, you know, because you got to get that doubt right out of your head. You got to just go for it.
I've heard it before, man. I felt it before. I think I was wrong about it, though. It's like I feel like I'm turning a corner. I feel like I'm turning a corner, you know. So
yeah.
So even, you know, maybe I did turn a corner, but it wasn't my last turn to make. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, car still got gas in it. We're going.
Yes. It's going. It's going nonstop, man. Always 25-8, no escape. Shout out to the Middleman Podcast. Shout out for you being here. You know, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Check out Nick Miller, one kind soul. You know, check out his music. Follow on Spotify. That's important. Follow the podcast on Spotify.
Yes, please do that.
I mean, and the reason I say that is because I'm like so close to 100. And I'm
I saw that.
Yeah, I'm like, come on. We got to get this.
We'll break it.
We got to get to 100, man. You know what I want to encourage to you as a viewer, you know, watching and listening to your music, write yourself a Spotify bio, okay, about the artist.
Got you.
About the artist, man. You know, I think that a lot of people would enjoy to see that, and it will help you form kind of an identity of yourself. But let Jenny do it.
Yeah, she's probably better at articulating that aspect of it.
Don't have yourself do that. You know, I think that would be a really good thing for people to see. You know, that's where people who are, you know, going to be going to the podcast, your next podcast, your next media session, you know, they're going to go out and they're going to search for that. They're going to search for things.
I'd rather her write it too, because compliments are tough for me. You know, I don't like talking about myself. I let people develop their own idea of who I am, you know, like a third party perspective. Like people are like, how good's your band? I'm like, I don't know, come watch us, you know, like you come tell me how good we are. I'm never gonna be like, yeah, we're the shit, bro. Like that's not who I am. So it'd be way better if you wrote that in there. It'd be genuine.
It would be genuine. So she also mentioned that you have a couple songs that aren't released yet. You know, we did mention that you wrote 10. I know you have plans of an album. You know, there's so much in the future that you have lined up, and I want to know how you're going to plan on executing, you know. But the first thing is, what is that favorite song that you haven't released that she's waiting so patiently for?
It's my Game of Thrones type song. It's called My Last Goodbye.
Okay.
And I do play that. I play my songs live that aren't recorded yet, but that one, even my parents and even Eric and Tyler in the band, they're all on board. They're like, this, we could have something with this one. It's just so different. We were watching House of Dragons, and after the episode, I don't know. I swear to God, you're like just a transmitter some nights. Like sometimes words just come to you, like pop in your head, and then you just got to grab the guitar or write it down real quick. And I think within 30 minutes, I might have had that written. And it's just it's pretty wild. Like how it just pops up in your head.
So how's that song coming along? Is there anything, you know, is it coming soon?
It should be within a few weeks here. But it's almost done. We just got to add a little bit more ear candy, the stuff you were talking about before, little parts in the background that just make the song what
great
it is.
Great way to put it, ear candy.
Yeah.
Dope.
Jesse's term, but yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I like
that. A little
that.
Bit more ear candy, but the lyrics, everything's done. We just got to just touch it up a little bit.
So you have that song, and have you been recording other tracks?
So my personal favorite song is Driftin', which is not started yet, but that will be following right up behind it. So
what do you think your theme is for most? Because you're putting an album together, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Theme for an album? Do you have one? You had to say.
It's a little all over the place right now. Yeah, there's not one genuine, not one major theme, but it's Let Me Out's panicky. Driftin' is kind of in that realm, just like a little spaced out. You could interpret it. I don't want to give too much of it away yet, but it's, and then, but the.
I feel like the album is full of raw emotion.
It's a lot of emotion, yeah.
Mm. The song,
like yeah, that makes sense.
It's a lot of who you are, man.
Where I am at that point in time, at that day, you know, it's like just how I'm feeling. But yeah, very exciting times ahead for sure.
That's brilliant, man. So you're putting that together. You got a lot of time that you need to, you know, organize everything. You've been doing your thing with the Party Poets. You've been doing some shows. Talk to me about the Party Poets. You know, we've had Joey Too Cozy. Shout out Joey Too Cozy.
Joey.
He's an OG and he is fantastic. And as a matter of fact, I loved talking to him and seeing him because I actually went to his first poetry show. You know, I was there. Yeah. I just happened to be there.
Got you.
And then I seen him again performing at the same venue, just a different year. And yeah, man, his skill has grown immensely. So, you know, you've been a part of the Party Poets. When did that start for you? And talk to us a little bit about Party Poets and what you do with them.
Yeah, first thing, Joey is a brilliant dude. He's just a character and a half. But yeah, so the Party Poets came up not that long ago for me. Like they kind of had it going, and then Gary always, he had the idea of blending his poems and my music, which is not really being done by anyone. So we just tried it out at a couple places. We were at a Dezo for a little bit, and we finally locked in a full-time gig at the V-Spot every last Wednesday of the month, which is like, we're making progress, but it's just such a unique event. You know, it's poetry, and these poets are like, you know, they're real deal. Like, I'm getting goosebumps when I listen to them just talk. And I think that's more impressive than playing music, like with guitar, you know, like that's very intimidating to me to do something like that. But they're all brilliant people. It's only been, I mean, we've probably been together for a year with me in them, but it's making moves, you know. It's definitely something different for sure.
And what do you do for them exactly? You're over there with your guitar and you're playing melodies.
Yeah, so Gary and I either are going to end the night off with him. We have like our 1 hour set, me and him together. So like he does a poem. I'm playing one of my songs in the background.
Sick.
And then when he's done, he calls me up, then I sing it. And then we have a couple of them memorized where like we know what poem to what song, you know, as we go back and forth. But and then sometimes I'm just a fill man, go in between the poems and all that stuff like that. But
love that, man. Mm-hmm. Love that. Good for you, man. I need to make my way out there, man. I feel like every Thursday. So Thursdays are hectic because I'm always posting, you know, I'm always
getting ready
to post. But I've been meaning to go out there, man. I swear on everything. And it's just been a lot of life going on, man. Just
exactly. It's the busiest year of our life, I think, for sure. Well, we got married, obviously, but that's
congratulations.
I'm officially a Barrett in the Barrett family.
Shout out the Barretts. The Barretts are fantastic.
Oh yeah.
They're really good people. Tyler. First time I met Tyler, I said, yo. No, actually, first time I met James, I went, dude, you look a lot like this guy I know. His name's Tyler. And he was like, oh, word? That's my brother. I was like, no shit. I'm like, all right, it's making sense now.
Both crazy good musicians too.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, the sister, is a great artist. They're just an artistic music family. Like I got lucky. Got lucky with that one, but
yeah, man, because that way you can go with a group of people and have jam sessions. Do you often have jam sessions?
Well, when I go over and watch football and stuff like that, they have a left-handed guitar there for me on the wall. So, yeah, anytime we go there, we're playing at least a little while. But
very nice, man. Very nice.
Yeah, it's very cool. I'm very lucky for that.
Being left-handed, you know, has that been a challenge when you picked up the guitar?
Being left-handed is only good in high school for sports.
Oh.
After that, it's like, there's no real point, like no purpose of it. But yeah, like you go to Guitar Center and go to try to buy a guitar, and there's one Hello Kitty guitar on the on the back wall that nothing against Hello Kitty, but I'm not gonna, like, luckily Jack's Place, Northeast Music, they have a great selection of left-handed guitars. So, but that wasn't until a couple of years ago, you know. But growing up, it's tough. I can play a right-handed guitar upside down. It's kind of a mind fuck, but you know, Yeah, already got it going on.
There's one right there.
I can only play like simple chords with it, you know?
Bro, I'll harmonize.
G, C, D.
I'll harmonize. I'm being so dead ass. You think I'm playing a game?
No, you don't play games, man.
All right. Are we doing this? Jenny, would you mind? Are you in it? Are you in it to win it?
You really want me to grab that guitar?
Bro, if you're going to play it upside down type
I could play
shit,
a couple. I probably have a pick in my pocket. Or something.
I had someone tune it up yesterday, actually. Not because you were coming, but he picked it up and he was like, yo, this shit's untuned. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't play.
Yeah, so it's 100% upside down, but from like sleeping over at Eric's house and all the guys all the time, like
it's just weird. Is that you sure this isn't tuned?
He was drinking a little bit. I was drinking a little bit. I said it was tuned.
It's not bad. Not bad.
Dude, just rip it right now. Rip it right now. Okay.
I can only play the basic chords like this because your brain doesn't really know what's happening, but you figured it out after 10 years.
Dude, do your thing because I'm going to fill the air right now. All right. Oh, we're going to rock out. I love this. This is fantastic. Jeez. You know, I've always. So thank you for being here on a
real. Oh, dude, I'm lucky to be here. This is great.
I've always wanted someone to play the guitar. And I've interviewed so many musicians and not a single person would be able to pick it up and play it.
And I can't play this one because it's backwards, but you know, I could give it my shot for you, bro.
He's still working on it, man. So yeah, seriously, thank you for being here because this is like a dream come true. This is like an accolade. So, all right, here we go. Just do your thing, bro.
Now everyone watching this is upside down. So just don't judge me at all.
My eyes are shut. All right. Yeah. All right. So, welcome to the Middleman Podcast. You know, you might be walking through the forest. You might be seeing the sky. You might be seeing some trees. You might be seeing some water. But understand, that's this world. And that's what we do here. You know, we're trying to build this world. We're trying to bring the highlight for other people to come on the show because we are the people's voice. We got Nick Miller over here doing his thing. One kind soul, the realest of them all. Playing a guitar upside down. You have never heard or seen anything like this before. Oh, that was amazing. That felt like...
That wasn't like, bad. That was good. I like that. That could be our intro.
Dude, thank you. Thank you. High five. High five. That was fucking fantastic, bro. That was fucking fantastic.
Can you get this thing out of my hand, please?
Man, myth, legend.
Yeah. That is a mind fuck doing that because your hand knows what to do, but when all the strings are upside down, it's just... I've just done that because I slept over Eric's house a billion times growing up. And if you don't have your guitar, they're all righty. You're only lefty, so.
You got to do what you got to do, man. You got to do what you got to do. You know, we were just playing some Guitar Hero Rock Band before we got on the air here.
Oh, yeah.
You flipped it upside down. You know, I'm going to tell you something about me personally. You know, let's just get to know each other personally, bro. Yeah, let's tell some stories now. You know, with the Guitar Hero, I pick up the guitar. I'll play the guitar and do the plug in the mic and sing the vocals on it.
Okay, I got you.
I'm a freaking animal, dude.
I believe you are. I mean, I took the risk when I played it for that's the first time I played that in like at least 10 years. I didn't actually play it. That's not Guitar Hero. That's
Rock Band.
So yeah, I never played Rock Band once, but I'm turning that bitch right to expert. I'm giving it first try. You know,
gangster, bro.
I got kicked out of the song, but it was close. Like I get one more try, I'll be all right.
It was a really good time, man. That's my shit. We're definitely gonna get into it after this.
Hell yeah!
I'm definitely looking forward to tea time as well because I do have something that I think is hilarious.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it isn't, but to me it is. You know, so
I'm sure it is.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. And dude, I'm still not over that. That was fantastic. You know.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that ass, bro. Because like these boards right here, we had Eric Boussart. We drew some art on these. You know, these are the small things. And
I think I have some of his art at my house too.
Oh, some of these?
Is he the one? He does it live during the shows.
Eric? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I bought one of his. I have it in the basement. It's a sick ass. Some kind of woman with her third eye. It's just, I don't know. It caught my eye. I had to buy it on the spot.
Eric yeah, is a monster, bro. Yeah. He's unbelievable, man. I'm actually gonna get some of his art probably tattooed on me.
Oh yeah, that'd be sick.
It's super dope, man. I really enjoyed our conversation. But yeah, those are the things that we're trying to do here on the Middleman Podcast to, you know, enlighten the energy and make it different because, you know, I'm gonna just say it. Okay, you and I, we were having a conversation and it's like, yeah, we've been doing stuff for so long. Everyone, you know, I'm doing this for free. This shit's free 99, and that's not a problem. I'm not worried about that at all. But yeah, man, you know, I just like to add those little added features to get people to get excited about the show. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do here? Yeah. You know, what's going to be that new, the new little quirky? And honestly, I think of an Eric Andre show.
Yeah.
You know, He was wild.
Joe's video. I don't know if we get that crazy, but the bomb's going off in here. But yeah, it's just that show was, it was almost cringy at some points. Yeah. But that's who, that's how he is. Like, that's just, that's Eric. He's like a genius because obviously it worked.
But he added that to his arsenal, you know, and that's what I'm trying to say is like all these small changes, all these subtle changes. You know, we just did something. We just released a Tea Time exclusive. Tea Time exclusive got a new song now.
Can't wait. It's Tea Time, baby.
It's got a new intro, Tea Time exclusive. So now you know it's a Tea Time exclusive. You know, instead of doing Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Middleman Podcast. Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to, you're going to be episode 87, I believe.
All right.
Yeah. I'm correct about that. Episode 87 of the Middleman Podcast on this week, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just all these small, subtle changes that I am enjoying doing, bro, doing these, doing the journey, doing the show, you know, and that we're just figuring out along the way, man.
Yeah.
What have you been doing to like elevate your game?
I mean, it's just about being consistent.
Okay.
You can't, like, I have my guitar in our living room hung on the wall to the right of the TV. So when I'm sitting there, even if I'm trying to be lazy that day, it's calm. Like, it's like, hey, man, like, you need to give me at least an hour a day. And I feel like that if you're consistent enough, like, when I sit down and it's quiet and I can just grab the guitar, it's very rare that I can't figure out, like, a new like chords progression to play or some lyrics that pop through. So you just got to be consistent and then it'll keep happening, you know.
So I'm sorry, I'm gonna go back to your album because I really feel like I'm so excited for this.
Yeah,
you know, I think everyone should be excited for it. You know, do you even have an album name yet?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
not yet. No, still in the works, but
right, it's probably gonna come with the you know, with the journey of making the songs and feeling, you know, you project
Yeah, it's going to be one of those things that just come to me and that it's got to be in the moment, you know?
Yeah, so you're going to be, I really want to hear you lay down some tracks. Would you be so kind to invite me to one of these studio sessions?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, he's in Dunmore, so
okay.
Not even far.
Yeah, that'd be amazing, man. I want to see you do your thing live and in color and definitely just watch this because your first album, that's such a big deal, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a big deal.
And I'm being 30 and trying to get it out, you know? It's time. You got to do now or never, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like that's a crutch? Do you feel like that's good?
0% crutch.
Good, bro.
I'm at the best I've ever been. So, you know,
fucking primetime TV, right?
Yeah. Here. I'm ready to roll. I'm definitely ready to roll at this point. Yeah.
Good, man. Good. So, why don't we transition into Tea Time? But before we get off the air and get into Tea Time, we like to give the floor to the guests. You know, if there's anything that we missed while we were talking, please feel free, you know, a message for the people. This is your time to do it, bro. The floor is yours.
All right, brother. Yeah. Again, Nick Miller, AKA One Kind Soul. Find me on Instagram at One Kind Soul Music, or if you just want to be my friend, at Nicholas Michael Miller, and then Spotify, One Kind Soul Music. And I have two songs out now, but stay tuned because I have a lot of interesting stuff coming out. And that's about it, though. Yeah.
All right. I'm really excited to see that, man. I really enjoy you coming to the platform. I really enjoy giving you your first podcast, you know, shake my hand if you don't mind. Hell, I really appreciate you playing the fuck out of that guitar earlier.
Upside
bro.
Down guitar.
That is like the highlight of the night.
Hell yeah.
I'm so excited and, you know, ready to see you progress, man. I think, you know, pedal to the metal consistency is what you, if that's what you feel like you're missing, bro, get it.
Yeah.
Do it. You know what I mean? Just fucking do it. So with that being said, I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez. We're going to transition into Tea Time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. Thank you all for watching and we'll catch you later.